And we are live on Blog Talk Radio. Happy Thursday, everyone. Of course, that makes... I don't want to say everyone. I never say that. Of course, that makes this Sports Club the NFL Conference Championship episode. I'm your host, Jeremy the Impact York. Tonight, we are joined by the Superman, Cody Elias. How you doing, Cody?
Jeremy, I'm doing well. Great to be back.
It is good to have you back. I have already trolled you via text message about whatever in the world your Sharks were doing last night, so I won't get too far into it tonight.
Yeah, that was embarrassing, but you know, I was there on Tuesday when they played the Penguins, and that was a great atmosphere. They were winners of seven in a row at that point, and you know, they're playing well, so I can't really complain. And the All-Star game here next week.
That's true, and there are quite a few, as on this week's board check, we went over the rosters and everything, and let's see what there are, two Sharks or three Sharks on the roster, I believe, but well represented.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to get into it, but the NHL did a bad job of marketing itself in San Jose with that, but you know, that's something we can discuss via text message sometime.
Yeah, I bet that we can, because I think you are trying to potentially attend that game next Saturday, and I wouldn't want you to squander that potential there.
That's correct. Don't burn any bridges.
No, especially when you're standing on them.
Yeah, well, there's only 400 of them in the Bay Area.
Yeah, there's quite a few. Not saying there aren't other ones you could use at that point, but you know. But obviously tonight we are going to talk a lot of NFL. In fact, probably 99% NHL, because I can't think of a whole lot of other things going on elsewhere that probably you haven't already hit on baseball or such like that. Because it seems like the only real tie-in is that the Raiders don't have a home next year. The city of Oakland is suing them. The city of Las Vegas is not quite ready for them yet. Shocker. And it seems like the best viable option is, well, I would say the B option at this point would be to play in San Diego, which I don't think is going to happen. San Diego wishes it would. And then I would say the A option right now is to play at the San Francisco Giants Stadium.
Yeah, so the options that they're talking about are Qualcomm and San Diego, which I guess it makes sense because it's, the stadium's still there and no one's playing in there. Except I think it's what San Diego State plays there. So I think,
that's
an option. AT&T Park is a great place, but I don't know if that's really fit to be a football venue. They've held some bowl games there, and you know, it's nice, but like it's not feasible to have, you know, for a bunch of fans, especially Raider fans, because you know, tailgating and all that stuff is so big for football games, and especially at Raider games. Raider tailgates are actually incredible. A lot of fun, a lot of great people and everything, but AT&T doesn't have a lot of parking lots around because it's right in the middle of the city on the water.
Yeah.
So there's, I don't know how much tailgating opportunity you'll have there, but I can see the more viable option being Qualcomm just because of the seating. I mean, because you essentially don't want it being like the situation that the Chargers have in Carson, where they're playing at the StubHub Center of 27,000 people. And could you imagine if this happened where it was Colts, Chargers in the AFC title game and they had it at the StubHub Center and you can only, in the NFL, they have 27,000 people there? They'd be pissed about that. But
but I would be all for it because, you know, we always cheer for the little guys. So I think that would be fantastic if that would happen.
Oh, it would have been a great game. And I would have rooted for the Colts to go to the Super Bowl because I'm a big Andrew Luck fan and everything, but obviously we didn't get either of those teams to advance in the AFC, so we don't have to worry about that. But I just see it being a situation like that where, you know, AT&T holds about 40,000 with standing room, and it's a great view because growing up in Pittsburgh, PNC Park is essentially the same thing. But it's not a venue for football, in my opinion. Just like I don't always feel like Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara where the Niners play is a great football venue sometimes, but a lot of people liked it for the national title game when it was here, you know, a couple of weeks ago. So that I guess I've been proved wrong on that, but don't expect Levi's to be an option because I just don't see the Niners letting the Raiders play there.
Yeah, it's you know, it, I don't see that either. But beyond that, it's as far as other baseball news, there's not really that much. The Yankees are spending a bunch of money on some free agents that you probably haven't heard of unless you're a big baseball fan. Beyond that, all the big free agents are still out there, and I honestly think that the market is down right now because pitchers and catchers report in, what, 2 weeks or so, and yet none of these guys are signed to rosters. Cody, you still with us? We may have lost him. Cody, are you still with us? And I don't doubt it could be this connection, but let's see if we can get him back real quick. There we go. Yeah, he's having technical difficulties on his side. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. All right. But, yeah, like I was saying, that with the baseball free agents and such, it's just Manny Machado. The only offer that's been extended to him is like a 7 or 8 year deal from the White Sox. None personal White Sox. Good. I would have done the same thing, but I don't think he goes there. Bryce Harper, who was the sure thing to be a Philadelphia Philly, turns out he's going big market. I don't think he's going to the Phillies. And if he does, there's this weird rumor that the Phillies would go after Mike Trout a couple years and that they would try to get Machado and Bryce Harper. And that's not Philly style. I don't see that happening either. Overall, I don't see a lot happening in the baseball world right now. And like I said, pitchers and catchers are going to report in a couple weeks and nothing. So, I think I can hear you. Cody, you with us?
Yeah, do you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
All right, yeah, sorry about that.
It's all right.
Issues with my kid. And headphones, but yeah, the Major League Baseball. I heard you saying about Trout and Harper. I mentioned that a few weeks ago to my coworkers that'd be a dream scenario for the city of Philadelphia because Mike Trout being from New Jersey, it'd be great. And
yeah,
you know, I'm a big Harper fan. I want Harper to particularly end up with the Phillies, but I could see it happening. But you're right, Machado got that 7 year offer that the White Sox threw out there for 175, which essentially is $25 million over 7 years. Per year, I mean, and it just, his agent comes out and says, no, that's not true. It's like, this is just Major League Baseball every year starting to, you know, you have it's been 3 months now that the free agency has been going on pretty much, and there hasn't been, a marquee signing yet. I mean, yeah, yes, Yasmani Grandal signed a 1 year deal with the Brewers after turning down a 4 year deal with the Mets. It's like, what other, like, big deals have happened? Like, the Yankees signed Adam Ottavino today. He throws a wicked slider, but if you're a Yankee fan, are you going crazy over signing a middle reliever? Just the way baseball's trending with their contracts, I think this is what's going to happen year in and year out. We saw it happen last year. The Red Sox waited until like 2 weeks before spring training, essentially, to sign J.D. Martinez, and he got a lower deal than he expected. But you know, the wedding paid off for him and the Red Sox. They won a World Series, so I can see this going on for a few more weeks, and then maybe something happens. But I mean, baseball needs to fix their free agency and their system because it's really failing right now.
Oh yeah, because football is just continuing to take another step up and another step up above baseball at this point and just crushing them at a time when we should be. Yeah, you know, we're working up to the Super Bowl, but as the NFL is kind of getting towards the end of their potential calendar year. Baseball, we should already be talking about some of these storylines, and yet the biggest Major League Baseball storyline involves a football player who is more than likely going to go to the draft instead of playing for the A's.
I agree. And Kyler Murray is – that's a great story when it comes to, you know, him wanting to go to the NFL and this whole, you know, NFL or MLB, which one's he going to choose? You know, obviously I feel like he should choose the Major League Baseball because it's a more of a guaranteed
mm-hmm. –
well, actually, really it's not. But I want to see
right.
him play baseball. I mean, he was great at Oklahoma, don't get me wrong. And, you know, so is Baker Mayfield the year before him. And Jalen Hurts will probably be good next year for them as well. But
mm-hmm.
You're right. It's the most popular thing dominated this, so far this offseason has been the Kyler Murray decision. And we know that he's going to enter the NFL draft. And then we have to wait and see what he decides to do after. So baseball, yet again, is having a tough time marketing itself because – Mike Trout is your best player, and you don't ever see him marketed at all. Yeah, he plays in Anaheim, which is the second fiddle team in Los Angeles. But I mean, you got to be able to market your talent, and it's the same thing with the NHL. I think the NHL doesn't do a great job of marketing their talent, but the NHL is also more of a niche sport anyway. And baseball is
right.
becoming more regionalized, well, because you're going to have teams like for the Braves. Like, there's a lot of Braves fans in the Atlanta area, but if you come out here, people are like, I don't know anything about the Braves. Like, I do. It's different because I follow baseball very closely.
Right.
I love the way the Braves are building, but like a casual baseball fan has no idea. And it probably can't name more than two people on the Braves that they were asked. And it's becoming more of a regional thing, and baseball has to do a better job of marketing itself. And I have faith they will, but I just, it needs to happen now because a lot of people are starting to lose interest.
Yeah. And it's, you know, like we say, it's they're just, it's like a lot of companies. You just stare at a lot of companies and you're like, I don't understand how you guys are making the money that you are because your advertising or your marketing in general is just, you're not even hitting your target audience, let alone the gray area people you're trying to get to your side. So baseball's got to do something because I know I'm looking forward to this year's season. And like you said, I'm a Yankee fan, and none of the moves that they've made really even as much as got a reaction out of me, except for I deleted the notification.
Yeah, and being a Pirates and Ace fan, I mean, the Pirates don't make moves, so that doesn't really matter. I mean, they've made, like,
right.
two small moves this year, and that's really about it. And the A's haven't really done anything either. They've re-signed a few guys, but other than that, they haven't done anything either. And they're not going to spend a ton of money. They're not going to go out and sign Dallas Keuchel or bring in one of the big name free agent pitchers. But I mean, other than that, like the biggest baseball we made was the Mariners signing Kikuchi, the Japanese pitcher who they brought over.
Yeah.
That's really all that's happened so far. And you have the Hall of Fame, you know, Hall of Fame being announced on Tuesday, the people who are getting in for the next class. And, you know, I'm really hoping that Roy Halladay gets in, but that's something we can discuss down the road. But there's
right.
really nothing going on. If you're going to have an off season this long, you need to make it better, more exciting, because we knew for 2 years that LeBron was going to leave Cleveland, and they turned it into a TV spectacle. Yeah, everyone mocked it as much as they did, but look what it did. I mean, it garnered so much interest among just even casual sports fans because they wanted to see if LeBron was going to leave Cleveland and where was he going to end up. We've known for years that this is going to be such a good free agent class for Major League Baseball, Trout and Harper with Harper and Machado, and it hasn't paid off, and it's a little disappointing.
Yeah, I totally agree there. And I want to go back to the Kyler Murray thing real quick, just because I know I've put enough thought into it, and I've heard all these different sides. But you know, what's your take or your reaction to all this? I mean, if let's say you're one of the inner circle of Kyler Murray, and he comes to you and he's like, hey, you know, I already signed that thing with the A's, but I'm really thinking of giving this football thing a shot. What do you think? Like, you know, what's your side on this?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, we saw this. He didn't enter the draft, but Jeff Samardzija probably would have been a first round talent if he would have entered the NFL draft coming out of Notre Dame as a wide receiver, and
right.
he chose baseball because baseball's, you know, there's less risk of getting, you know, sustaining a serious injury, you know, unless you're a pitcher and you have Tommy John and you have major ligament damage. But, you know, as a positional player, especially in college, Kyler Murray had, you know, it was going to take time to get your way through the minors and the A system, going through Stockton and Nashville and everything, and working your way up to making it to the A's roster eventually. But baseball, I think, is the more sound choice because you have a less risk of injury. But the NFL, if he gets drafted in the first round, you're probably going to be on the field, if not, you know, the first, you know, NFL, you know, week one, but you're going to be playing at some point in your rookie year, probably, unless you're just, you're sitting behind someone like Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady. But I can see why he wants to do the NFL. You can get the money, and there's much more marketing, you know, marketing opportunities than that. And it's a better chance to get your name out there. But with baseball, less risk of injury, and you have a chance to, you know, play in Oakland's pretty special. I mean, they're small, they operate like a small market team, but they do well every year. You know, they go through rebuilding here and there. It's not really a full rebuild, but they rebuild. But they're always competitive, and, you know, the fans in Oakland would get behind him. But how would you feel if you saw this happening? The Raiders, tomorrow, I think the city of Oakland is having a council meeting to decide what's going to happen with the Raiders next year. And the Raiders find out they're not playing in Oakland. And with one of the first round draft picks that Gruden has, he takes Kyler Murray, and they sign him to play for the Raiders and take him away for the A's before they leave Oakland. If you're a fan, what would your reaction be?
Jeez, I will go ahead and throw this invitation out there. If that doomsday scenario happened, because if you live anywhere near the Bay Area, that would be a doomsday situation. I will find you a room and board out this direction if you want to get out of town for a few days, because it would be total chaos, I think, out in the Bay Area. That one, especially for the team that's leaving to steal from one of the few teams still there. Already, my whole thing on the Kyler Murray thing, at first I was like, well, of course, he's going to go with football. It's the bigger sport. He can be a star faster and all that. And, oh, what a great opportunity. But the more I think about it, it goes back to, I'm a very loyal person to a point, not to a fault, to a point. There's certain times when my loyalty gets overridden. But in this case, you go, you knew that you could potentially take this path in football, and yet you took the baseball one first. So to me, you should at least try to see – you should try to see the thing with the Oakland A's through, at least for a bit, knowing that you can always come back, because we've seen a couple other people come back to football after baseball. But yeah, my reaction as a fan there would be, if that happened, it would not be good. It would be very chaotic out in the greater Oakland area.
Yeah, it's just something we've thrown around and thought about, and I could see that happening as a parting shot that Mark Davis and the Raiders do to the city of Oakland. But, and we still got a few months to figure that out. But I definitely, it's funny because, like, all the rumors started, I think Matt Miller had it first. He had the whole idea of him going to the NFL. And then Susan Slusser from the San Francisco Chronicle had the story that, yeah, he is indeed going to enter, you know, he's going to go to the NFL, he wants to enter the NFL draft. And then right before Schefter had the news where he had the idea and he heard it and floated it, I was saying it during our pre-show meeting, like, how, what if the Cardinals drafted Kyler Murray number one overall and then traded Josh Rosen? And then that, mm-hmm. all that started happening. And I was like, that's really, I mean, that would completely blow a lot of people's minds if Cliff Kingsbury in his first year as the head coach of the Cardinals made a move like that. But he's having trouble putting together a coaching staff, so I don't see them giving him personnel decision his first year. But I mean, the timing is so there with the news being announced and then the audio coming out of that video of him from the week where they're playing Oklahoma and he's at Texas Tech saying how he would take him with the number one overall pick. So
yeah,
very interesting. And, you know, we got a good couple months coming ahead of us with the combine coming up next month. And then, you know, the draft in April and spring training starts next month too. So we got a lot of things to look forward to if you're a fan of Kyler Murray, the NFL, or Major League Baseball.
Yeah, definitely so, and especially since you mentioned the thing about putting together coaching staffs, I was gonna do the cutesy thing that a lot of other people are doing and say that if people were looking for, you know, Cincinnati's still technically looking for a coach. I think Miami still hasn't technically announced theirs yet. You know, if you're looking for head coaches, you got two guys in myself and Cody who have heard and talked about Sean McVay quite a bit, because that seems to be the caveat. But Wade Phillips actually beat us to the punch and actually had a pretty good quote today. I don't have the exact quote, but he said for those looking for their next head coach, he offered up that his son knows Sean McVay.
I mean, it's it's funny, but it's true, because they, you know, with Zach Taylor potentially being the new head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, the Rams QB coach, and then you have Matt LaFleur, who's the new head coach of the Packers. Kingsbury apparently knows, you know, Sean McVay. You have all this stuff going on. It's so funny, because, you know, that all that is happening. And then I think the Dolphins want to hire Brian Flores, the Patriots defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
So I can see where this is coming. Actually, the Dolphins, by the way, have the worst odds to win the 2020 Super Bowl. They actually are like 301 in Vegas right now.
Wow.
So don't put any stock in the Dolphins right now to win the Super Bowl.
You know, I was going to say, though, you know, I might hit up one Mr. Fortenbaugh and say, and unless he's 100% against it, that it's like, here's $5 to put on the Dolphins next year, because why not?
Yeah, I mean, that's it. And then, you know, if they start playing well, you can always hedge and everything like that. But I have the quote right here from Wade Phillips. Wes is a young offensive coach who knows Sean McVay, if anyone's looking for a head coach. That's actually really funny, especially coming from Wade Phillips, who's the defensive coordinator on the staff with Sean McVay.
Yeah.
I mean, McVay, the name, the McVay family, the McVay name is big in the Bay Area, because his grandfather, John, was, you know, he helped Eddie DeBartolo and Carmen Policy and the 49ers win all those Super Bowls. And I can see why Sean is getting so much. People are, you know, want people that worked under him or know him because of his mind and the guy. He's able to rattle off plays that he ran last year in the middle of the game. That it's incredible, and he's 32. So to have a guy that's 32 years old, a guy that's 2 years older than me, running an NFL team, and all of his assistants essentially getting hired. That's such a great. It's a great job fair opportunity for anyone that coaches under him, knows him. Could know him, maybe dated him, ex-girlfriend who's now married to someone else, could say he knows Sean McVay and he could be new head coach. There's so many different ways we could peel this back and make it funny, but kudos to him, because he is a hell of a young coach, and as shown, the Rams are in the NFC title game.
Well, I mean, at this point, you know, the next National Spelling Bee that happens, the first kid to spell Sean McVay is probably going to be, you know, the automatic winner and potentially the next Notre Dame head coach or something.
Well, don't sell Brian Kelly too short yet, but yes, that I guess there's endless possibilities with this. Endless.
Oh yeah. No, I thought Brian Kelly was a potential outside dark horse candidate for Tampa Bay, but if you can get Bruce Arians, nothing personal Brian Kelly, but yeah, I'll take Bruce Arians.
Oh, completely agree. I'm a big Arians guy, too, and I remember reading about Brian Kelly wanting, you know, potentially being a guy that Tampa hired. Because remember, a few years ago, they hired Greg Schiano. And he did a nice job. Was his first year there, they did a nice job. And then, you know, he ended up flaming out. Chip Kelly had a great first 2 years in Philadelphia record-wise. Personnel decision-wise, not so much. And then 2-14 with the Niners. I'm interested to see what Kingsbury does. I like him as an offensive mind. The Cardinals really aren't planning to, you know, win a Super Bowl next year, but I like the idea of bringing college coaches in that, you know, they think can work and taking a chance. I mean, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But for a team like the Cardinals, you already have bad ownership. So why not take a chance on a young GM or young head coach? And you have a GM that probably should have been fired when you fired your head coach, which I feel bad for Steve Wilks. He probably shouldn't have got fired when he did. But because, you know, 1 year under that situation where your offense was just pathetic. And their defense is actually not that bad, but I can understand why they did it. And here he got picked up as an assistant with he's the Browns defensive coordinator now. So,
yeah,
good for him. And I like the way the NFL is moving with the younger head coaches and the offensive minds, because we're seeing a ton of points scored. It's just, you know, a matter of getting the right guy in there and helping you build the right way. And I hope that happens with Kingsbury in Arizona.
Yeah, that definitely. I mean, it would be like if, you know, when Jeff Gordon retired from NASCAR, if they put me or you in the car behind him the next year and then got mad when we lost, you know, practically every race because we're not Jeff Gordon. It's, you go from Bruce Arians to Wilks, and it's nothing personal to Wilks, but he's not established. This was his first chance to be a head coach. It wasn't fair to him to have him be basically a lame duck for a year.
Oh, I completely agree. And I mean, there have been a lot of bad first-year NFL head coaches that, you know, that have gotten a second chance and, you know, they end up flaming out. I mean, people here always, you know, get on Jim Tomsula, the Redskins defensive line coach now, for the 1 year he was the Niners head coach after Harbaugh. the Niners were 5-11, but you know, the people love Jim Tomsula. He was a great people person. He could rally the team. He just wasn't a guy that was an NFL head coach. And maybe that's the same thing with Steve Wilkes. Wilkes is a great defensive coordinator, and the player and his players like him. But some guys just aren't meant to be head coaches. Some guys are better as coordinators. We saw that with Wade Phillips. We see that with Romeo Crennel. There's a lot of guys that they just can't handle. Like, that's why I don't think McDaniels is ever going to be. He's sitting there waiting for that Patriots job, but he's going to take that job when Belichick retires and Brady's gone. So what do you got? You're going to want a title with Brian Hoyer and nobody on that team? Like, what are you waiting for? The best thing that ever happened to the Colts was him not taking that job and Frank Reich coming
in. Oh, yeah.
He did with what they did and the way Chris Ballard built that team around, you know, around Andrew Luck, giving him an offensive line where essentially he was the least sacked quarterback in the league, and getting a defense with Darius Leonard and bringing other guys in. You already have Malik Hooper, who's great in the secondary, you know, Danico Autry, who they brought in from the Raiders. They signed so many guys under the radar and drafted so well that it didn't even matter if they didn't have Josh McDaniels. What he did was unbelievable, and I don't know how he's ever going to get a look at the head coach again for doing that, but, you know, a team will hire him. I really thought Cincinnati would hire him, but then he turned down the opportunity to interview. So I think the Bengals actually dodged a bullet on that one, but
yeah.
He's a guy that I think will probably be better off as a coordinator, because there's just some guys that they're not good at leading a team. They're good at leading one specific area, as we've seen. But guys like him and Wilkes and other guys are probably just better off as coordinators. And it sucks he got fired after a year, but we'll see. If Kingsbury goes in there and they win 4 or 5 games in his first year, then clearly it was the coaching that was the issue.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I agree with it. You know, some people can be the top dog, and some of them are better as the guys who help the top dogs like that. And there's nothing wrong with that, because, I mean, I tell people all the time, hey, we need construction workers just as much as we need CEOs, because, you know, everybody plays a part in this whole thing and such like that. The thing with McDaniels is he wanted the Green Bay job, and when he didn't get the Green Bay job, there wasn't really another opportunity for him. So that's why he took his name out of consideration, and that's why I think Cincinnati was like, yeah, on second thought, I don't think we need to even waste our time with that.
Well, plus they hired a Sean McVay guy, so they kind of lucked out there. But you're completely right about the whole Green Bay thing. They give the job to LaFleur. McDaniels doesn't get it, and I really didn't want to see him with Aaron Rodgers anyway.
No, that would have been awful.
I don't think Rodgers would have really paid attention. You know, Rodgers needs a guy that – I don't think LaFleur could be the right guy for him either, but, I mean, it's Aaron Rodgers, and they're going to win. They're probably going to win regardless just because of his talent. But
right.
I don't know if there really was the right guy out there right now to bring in to go with Rodgers, because I thought Harbaugh would have been a good choice, but, you know, obviously Harbaugh's not going to leave Michigan right now. I do think he'll return to the NFL. I just, you know, wasn't going to be this year. But someone like that with Aaron Rodgers would have been great. But, you know, hiring a first-time NFL head coach who – took an offense last year that wasn't bad the year before and made it essentially worse, and your quarterback didn't get any better, I don't know why you think he's the right answer for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I don't want to talk too poorly about Green Bay, because they are a classy organization. They've been on top for as long as they have for a reason, but yeah, I got to question a couple of the things they've done in the last few years. But, you know, past that, their scouting department's A+, because they keep finding these guys out of just basically thin air and just out of nowhere that they're able to plug and play in. I mean, you trade Clinton Dix and then somehow still find somebody to be able to play safety and not give up like 40 touchdowns.
Yeah, and they've always done a nice job at scouting and drafting and signing under the radar free agents. Like, what was the biggest free agent they made? They signed Jimmy Graham, and they signed like Julius Peppers a few years ago, and they had Charles Woodson back in the day. They don't spend a lot of money. They're like the Steelers. They develop everyone and they develop their own, and you don't see them make a lot of big free agents. You know, a lot of big moves with free agency, and the Steelers are a whole other story because they're a mess right now. And I just don't see how they're going to lose two of their best offensive players in the same offseason, but, you know, they sure as hell probably will. And that could signal maybe a rebuild in Pittsburgh, which I can't believe I'm saying that. But with Green Bay, they've always done a nice job with their scouting, and they have a good young GM in there, and they have a young head coach, and hopefully they are Mike McCarthy, you know, halfway through the season, as well, a little three-quarters way through the season, and then you didn't really have a plan on who you wanted to bring in as your next coach, and it just, I don't know, it's baffling to me. I thought that they could have hired someone different, but, you know, again, I'm not going to bash the organization. They have, you know, they're one of the oldest organizations in sports, and they've won Super Bowls, so can't really complain too much, but I did think it was time for Mike McCarthy to go when he did, and because you can tell that him and Rodgers just weren't getting along, but hopefully LaFleur works out for them, because if not, you're back to square one again, and Rodgers is still going to be playing there because he's what, 35? So Rodgers probably still has 4 or 5 years left in him if he stays healthy. I can't say I see Matt LaFleur being there that long if him and Rodgers don't get along.
Well, the good thing is if this thing goes south after a year or so, unless they meet in the Super Bowl this year, I don't think that Sean McVay has ever coached with or against Josh McDaniels. So we can't give him that connection. So McDaniels is going to have to somehow get on a staff that's going to coach against or coach with McVay so that he can get the Green Bay job.
Yeah. Knowing that you're a Cowboy fan, I heard some people think that Jerry Jones is waiting to see what happens with the Saints and he's going to try to bring Sean Payton over. Would you be a fan of that, or do you prefer the clapper?
We all know this year that I tried to run two members of that organization out of town. Both of them are still there, so I guess I got to be louder. I think Colin Cowherd the other day said that Dak Prescott is kind of developing into an Alex Smith type. And I was like, okay, I'll take that for the most part, but I still stand by the Dak is the placeholder till we find the next big thing or the next big, you know, franchise quarterback. And he does okay. Dak's fine. He's not awful. He's not Blake Bortles or nothing. But couldn't run him out of town. At one point, I tried to run Jason Garrett out of town, and after a while, I actually started to like him towards the end of the season. Not because they were winning so much as I kind of looked a little deeper into why I didn't like him and realized it wasn't really a valid reason. That rumor about Sean Payton has been there way before Jason Garrett was ever the coach, too. It started to take on some legs, though, because at some point, Sean Payton is not going to be the Saints head coach. And at some point, you got to see that Drew Brees is not going to be the quarterback of the Saints. So would I be on board with Sean Payton as the coach of the Cowboys? Absolutely. I would probably consider trying to travel to a game at that point.
I'm not a Cowboy fan, but I'd like – he was, what, an assistant under Parcells? Well, Parcells was the head coach there. That's how he got his start. Yeah.
Yep.
I like Sean Payton. I think he was Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan before Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan. And now he's still there. He's probably the best offensive mind in football. I mean, Gruden has a great mind, too. It's just, I don't think he has the right talent yet, but we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, with Sean Payton being in Dallas, that'd be such a home run hire for them. And maybe he can get the most out of Dak and what he can get out of Zeke, because look what he's doing with Ingram and Kamara and Drew Brees has been playing for 100 years, essentially. Think of it this way. Drew Brees got drafted in 2001. His former teammate that got drafted the same year is already in the Hall of Fame. That's how long he's been playing.
Yeah.
Which is just incredible.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's a testament to, you know, the way Brady and Brees are still around, that they've taken care of themselves and outside of Brady's leg injury that one year and obviously Drew Brees having the shoulder issues that had him on the Saints now. They really haven't been that dinged up, so they've done a pretty good job of staying healthy, and I think that has a lot to do with still being on top like that.
You know, speaking of Brees, do you think that if he would have went to the Dolphins back in the 06 offseason when they wouldn't sign him because of his shoulder and they end up going with Culpepper, do you think he would still be in Miami with Nick Saban if Saban was still the head coach of the Dolphins, if they would route him in essentially?
No, I think both of them would be gone by now. I think Drew would have went to another team and played like his last couple years. I think he'd be done already. I don't know what team he would have went to. With, you know, at Minnesota or something, just because we don't know how it would have played out. And I think at some point, either before or right after he left, I think Saban would move on. He would have moved on to – it wouldn't be the college. I think he'd just be coaching a different team too, but – things could have went differently for them. it's not like they had that bad of a team when they tried to sign him. And according to Saban, I mean, it's all hearsay at this point, but according to Saban, he wanted Drew Brees, and the medical staff and the higher management wouldn't let him sign him. So they had to go with Culpepper because they said he was he had more stability, like physical wise.
Yeah, and that's the one thing I've always heard too about Saban. And then, like, you flash forward, I think it was 2 years later after they fired Cam Cameron after the 1-15 season, they bring in Chad Pennington, who had two rotator cuff shoulder surgeries.
Yeah,
and they make it to the playoffs that year under Tony Sperano. So you don't bring in Drew Brees because he has a bad shoulder, and then you sign Chad Pennington, who had essentially pretty much no shoulder because of the rotator cuff. He couldn't throw, and you do well. So that's why the Dolphins are the Dolphins, and that's why they haven't won a Super Bowl since, 1972 when they're undefeated. So that's why they're always going to be the Dolphins. And that's why they have the worst odds to win the Super Bowl already in 2020.
Exactly. That's why, you know, I'll let you reach out to Joe sometime. You know, you'll probably see him in the next day or so, I would imagine. And just say how strong does he feel about that? Because it seems like, I mean, it might be something he addressed on his latest podcast, and I haven't caught up enough to listen to it. I'm like two behind, I think, on that, on the Sharp 600. If people aren't listening to that, if you like sports betting and such, you got to listen to that. It's fantastic. But it seems like the odds are so stacked against them as far as the number, them being the 300-1 or whatever. It to me, it would be worth putting down, you know, maybe you're like a third of your typical weekend money or something on it. Just discretionary, that's not going to matter that much, but if you hit, it's going to make it a lot nicer.
Oh, I completely agree, but I still can't put my money down on the I don't gamble. I never have, but I don't think I'm going to start gambling by putting money down on the Dolphins. So, if we're going to start spending my money and gambling it away besides fantasy sports, it's not going to be on the Miami Dolphins, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I don't think it should be on any sports team in Miami currently.
Well, don't sleep on the Hurricanes. They just did get Tate Martell, the kid to transfer from Ohio State, right? I think he was at Ohio State. He's now going down to play at the U, who stole their head coach from Temple. I don't. You're telling me you can't find a head coach, so you have to go steal the head coach from the University of Temple? So,
yeah.
I mean, the U has his own problems.
There's another loyalty thing that we could get into, but instead, I think we're going to talk about some of these games that happened over the weekend, and we're going to give our picks. I have everybody's picks but Reggie's, and you and Coach have completely polar opposite picks, and I can say that I agree with one of you completely, but I will leave that till we get to it. The Indianapolis-Kansas City game just baffled me. I thought the Colts, maybe they're just beat up and tired at this point, but I really thought the Colts would make a little bit more of a game of this than they did. It seemed to me that there was a little bit of a theme going on, but Kansas City was winning the battle in the trenches. Their offensive line was keeping the defensive line away, and it seemed like their defensive line could just do anything they wanted with this Colts offensive line that is actually pretty good. So it seems like to me that's where Kansas City was winning, was in the trenches. I know we had talked about that before. For Andrew Luck to have this as his worst day of the season, it's, you know, a lot of people said maybe his arm was worn out or something like that. I don't think that was the case at all. I think Andrew Luck could play all the way through the Super Bowl the way he was looking. You know, did you kind of see it that way? I mean, 31-13, it seemed pretty one-sided.
Yeah, it was. And what I heard all the narratives about how Andrew Luck, the cold might have gone to Andrew Luck's shoulder, and, you know, playing in a dome doesn't help for the Colts and all that. I just think that the Chiefs were the better team. We saw it all season. They were, what did they finish, 13-3 or 12-4? I can't remember. But they won over 12 games for a reason, because they can score a ton of points. They play a little bit of defense. I mean, when I say little, I mean a little bit of defense. But they get the job done. And Patrick Mahomes had a great season. He had 50 touchdowns. I didn't think he was too impressive in the – first round, you know, in the game against the Colts, but he didn't need to be. Damian Williams did a nice job. Then their defense shut down, you know, Frank Wright's attack and Andrew Luck. So the Colts defense, it was bound for the Colts defense to finally, you know, come back to earth. I mean, they've been good all year. I'm not saying they're not a good defense, but going against a team like the Chiefs that scores a ton of points, you had a feeling it's going to happen. And there was no way the Chiefs were going to, I mean, you can't lose every playoff game you play at home. I mean, you have your last playoff win before this as when Joe Montana was your quarterback. It's, you have to win eventually. And that's always the thing that's going to get to Andy Reid is, you know, he's a great, you know, regular season head coach. But, you know, I'm pulling for him. And I was pulling for him in that game. And I'm pulling for him. Actually, I think I picked the Colts to win. So that's a lie. I'm blatantly lying right now. But I am pulling for him against the Patriots. So there is that. But, and I like watching Patrick Mahomes. I think that he's revolutionizing football along with, you know, Goff and all these other young quarterbacks. So it's going to be exciting to see. But, yeah, I think that the Colts are going to be back next year. I think they're going to win the division next year. I mean, they came close this year. Houston just went on that really nice run after starting 0-3. And Deshaun Watson in his playoff game against the Colts just looked awful. But, you know, going forward, I think that's the Colts division to win. And Kansas City is Kansas City. They're going to score the points and play the littlest amount of defense possible to get a win.
Yeah, and Coach let me know that he had a meeting, so he was not. He thought maybe he'd be able to join us later in the show, but apparently not. This is completely speculation on my part, but I'm going to say that the meeting that Coach is having and the reason why he couldn't be on is he's probably meeting with Sean McVay so that he can be a head coach next year.
Oh well, I mean, good for Coach if he can get that opportunity because. No, just asking him one question, you're already going to be the next hot commodity next offseason when somebody essentially fires their head coach. So good luck to him.
That, and I'm being told that if we mention Sean McVay's name outside of the time I just did about 13 more times in the podcast / live show, that there's a good chance that we can get at least a collegiate head coaching job in the next few years.
San Jose State's really bad out here. And so I'm pretty sure we can probably get that done. If you're looking for something out here, that's one. And I don't know what really what colleges are doing bad out there. I mean, Georgia Southern's pretty. They had a nice year, didn't they? And Georgia State wasn't that bad. So I don't think those are two jobs that we're going to be looking for anyone. And I know Paul Johnson retired at Georgia Tech, but I'm pretty sure that we don't have the experience required yet to have that job.
Well, I think the only experience necessary in the candidates they were looking for at Georgia Tech was whatever you do, you cannot run the triple option.
Well, I mean, I'm glad that, you know, Paul Johnson had a nice run, and we're going a little too far here on Georgia Tech football. But yeah, I think it was time for them to move past the triple option. Let Navy run that, you know, under Ken. I can never say his last name, but I think he's a great coach too. But, yeah, I think it's time to start, you know, airing it out. That's what colleges are supposed to do. I want to see the spread offense. I want to see points scored. And nothing against running the football, but the triple option was just getting a little old for me, especially being a Pitt fan having to watch them play Georgia Tech.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, you did pick the Colts last week, but, yeah, you rectified that by picking Kansas City later. Granted, we already know that New England beat the Chargers, 41-28. Honestly, it wasn't that close until what we all call garbage time, because that's when Phillip Rivers was practically, it looked like at some point he might give up a couple of his kids just to get a few more touchdowns on the board, but it just wasn't enough. For some reason, they fell short, and as much as we like to doubt New England, New England just comes over the top. I mean, honestly, they dominated and controlled very early. They were holding, then they held off the late charge. I mean, it's New England football. Either they get started early and then hold you off in the end, or they just set up that steady base to start with and get you on the last drive.
Yeah, I watched that game. I when New England was up, like, I mean, they were blowing them out. I saw it was 7-0, and then Rivers threw that nice touchdown pass to Keenan Allen to make it 7-7, and the Patriots went on a roll. I'm not going to lie, I fell asleep at halftime, and I woke up and the game was over. But didn't really need to be awake to see the end of the game because there was really nothing there. You're right, Rivers had a great run in garbage time, but he's now 0-8 in his career versus Tom Brady. And if you want to make Philip Rivers a Hall of Famer, You know, I'm not going to argue with it. He has no Super Bowl wins. He hasn't even been to the Super Bowl. He's lost an AFC title game. But to not be able to be Tom Brady ever in your career, who is arguably the greatest quarterback of all time, that to me is just not really Hall of Fame worthy. But I'm different because I think that that's something you need to do. If you want to be the best, you have to beat the best. To quote Ric Flair. And he wasn't he wasn't good enough last week. And he's complaining after every call. And I don't know. The Chargers weren't ready to play. You're not going to outcoach Belichick in New England. But this week it's going to be completely different because Tom Brady is a completely different quarterback when he plays on the road in the playoffs.
Yeah, and a special treat for everybody because joining us right now, fresh out of his meeting with Sean McVay, completely speculation, is Coach Haywood Hill. How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing great, guys. How about yourself?
We're doing pretty good. We said that we were speculating that maybe you had a meeting with Sean McVay so that you could be a head coach somewhere.
No, but I can tell you that there have been some interesting conversations going around. And, again, I apologize for joining late. One of the things I want to just kind of back up into, and I heard you, Cody, when you were speaking of what happened with the Chargers and Lynn as they played against New England. One of the things that I find interesting, and when it comes down to this, I like the Rams and I like what they're doing with that organization, as well as I like what is taking place with even Kansas City and some of the teams that made. I think every team that made the playoffs made the right teams made the playoffs. There were no anomalies, if you will. But I think when it comes down to this point, and you pointed out earlier, Cody, in your statement, that teams that have been there, the experience has its weight and it carries a weight. And Tom Brady is the type of quarterback who's been there enough times as a champion that he knows how to pace himself. And so when he gets to the playoffs, there's a switch that he turns on that is hard to stop. And so right now he's playing off of he's a little flustered, if you will, with some of the comments that have been made. And it's almost like the Patriots have to prove themselves as champions as if they haven't been champions. So I think it's going to be really difficult to beat them, whomever you put them up against. But I think when you look at the ticket and for the market, the only team that can probably go play for them right there would be the Saints. So my prediction going into this is that both of those the experience is going to kick in for both of those organizations. And although the Rams are a good football team and Kansas City is good, they're still young football teams. And I think this is where experience is just going to, you know, it's kind of like me, like you were saying earlier, you got to, you know, to be the best, you got to beat the best. And they know how to win. New England knows how to win. The Saints know how to win. So I'm going to be really excited to see how this weekend turns out. I think I got it right with these two.
Well, and Cody, before you jump in there, I was going to say that that's something that as I've talked to fans and other people about, you know, picking the games this weekend, that's something I said. It's not just who you want to win these conference championships, but what Super Bowl matchup are you trying to set up? And Coach, you got into it there. You're trying to set up Sean Payton, Drew Brees, and the Saints versus Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the Patriots as the experience versus experience. You know, let's see Holyfield Tyson one more time. Let's see. But, you know, we can't get into our picks there because, I mean, we all know what happened in these games. We all know that Philadelphia tried, but Nick Foles was living on a prayer, to quote a Philadelphia guy there. And it's just, I think that cloud and ship has sailed. He'll be elsewhere, obviously, with New Orleans taking that one. Even though they had a tough battle, only scored 20 points, that's something they'll need to rectify to win this week. And then Dallas kind of putting on a late show, but I can't even make excuses there. The Rams completely ran down their throats. C.J. Anderson looked like Todd Gurley 2.0, and anytime you have two Todd Gurleys in the game, it's going to make it really tough for New Orleans this week.
The C.J. Anderson, that was surprising for him, though. You know, he played for Oakland essentially like yesterday, and then he's playing with the Rams, and he's running for over 100 yards. Gurley didn't look the same, and the Rams won the game without Jared Goff having to be Jared Goff and throw for 400 yards and four touchdowns. So if you're able to run the ball like they did, I think they have a great shot against the Saints. It's all about tempo down in New Orleans. That's what's going to – you're going to try to – you have to try to keep Breeze off the field, and especially in the Voodoo Dome, because we all know from watching on TV, because, well, one, I've never been there, and I've never been in a playoff game. We know how loud it could get down there, and I think that that's something that Goff's going to need to work through as he tries to get to the Super Bowl for the first time. And, you know, I'm glad the Rams won for the – you know, because I was going to get tired of hearing the narrative how Sean McVay is a great coach, but he can't win in the playoffs because, you know, after being – if he would have been 0-2, that's what everyone would have talked about, how everyone's hiring all these guys who work for under McVay, but he can't win a playoff game, so I'm glad they won. But if you're able to run the ball like they did against the Saints, I think we're seeing the Rams in the Super Bowl.
And Coach, like you said, you went New Orleans, New England. Cody, you had the Rams in Kansas City. I did tease earlier that not only do you guys have polar opposite picks there, but that's what it ultimately came down to me. I could make a case for either of these four teams to win their matchups this week, but when it came down to it, what Super Bowl did I want to see, and what Super Bowl did I really feel could happen? And I had to go with the same thing Coach said there. I think I want to see Sean Payton versus Bill Belichick. And with one of two things happening in that Super Bowl, obviously we'll talk more Super Bowl in the next couple of weeks, but one of these two things happening, either Sean Payton loses the Super Bowl, rides off into the sunset, trading in that fleur-de-lis for a giant star, which we talked about earlier, or the other side of that is Sean Payton and the Saints winning a Super Bowl over Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the Patriots, riding off into the sunset and once again trading that fleur-de-lis for the star. I think those two scenarios absolutely work for me. I don't know how you guys feel about them.
Well, one of the things, if I may add, guys, is that, again, when we're talking about experience, and I said that, you know, if you know New England is in it and the Saints are in it, the one thing that you also have to look at is the depth chart. And when players are getting hurt and guys are getting tweaked and they might not come back in, and it's, you know, they're just kind of evaluating players, that's what I had to look at. I look at if the Rams lose some players, do they have the depth there? They've proven at running back they had something in CJ last week, but, I mean, did he run it all? Does he have any gas in the tank for this game? And then more importantly, if they make it to the Super Bowl. So I look at those things, and those things have to play heavily into, you know, how much of a drop-off in personnel do you have if you lose two or three players on each side of the ball that are starters for you, more important impact players. So those are the things that I weigh heavy in on. I like McVay. Like I said, I like Kansas City. I just think they're still maybe a year and or two away from really solidifying it with the roster they can keep it together.
I
want to see the Rams and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl because, we all can all agree we love that Monday night game where the Rams won 54-51, right?
Yeah, something like that.
So I think that watching, I agree with both of you. I think seeing Brady, you know, Brady and Breeze in the Super Bowl, Belichick versus Peyton is a great. And I wouldn't say nostalgic. It's a great moment because you have four legends, essentially, the two coaches and two quarterbacks going up against each other, and it's new. It's something different. But I want, for me, as a fan of, you know, high-scoring offenses, I want to see the Rams and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I think that that's the way the NFL is moving, the way offense is being played and defense is kind of being put on the back burner. But, you know, I don't think there's really any wrong, you know, out of all these matches, I think, and out of any of the possibilities, I think they're all compelling. I think there's a good storyline in all of them. Like the whole sure. The whole Belichick McVay one would be awesome. Just having the legendary head coach versus the up and coming head coach and watching them two guys go against each other. Because I don't think we were going to talk about Brady versus Goff. I mean, the only tie is they're both from the Bay Area, but to see Belichick versus McVay or Belichick versus Andy Reid. Because that what was that the 2004 Super Bowl where they met up in the Super Bowl with the Eagles and Patriots, but I think there's good matches all around, and I can't really argue with any of them. I personally myself just want to see the Rams and Chiefs play again because that Monday night game was so great.
And I think we have a caller, so let's bring him on. Hey, you're on Sports Club. What's your name? Where are you from?
Yeah, this is Naj. I'm in Atlanta. What's going on, y'all?
We're just hanging out debating on what Super Bowl matchup we want to see. What Super Bowl matchup would you want to see?
Well, I think the last guy kind of got it right. I think more than likely Chiefs-Rams. I think a lot of things about them are being kind of undersold. Like, we didn't watch a whole season. And at a certain point, man, look, no country for old men. Brees is having serious arm issues. Like, this is not the Drew Brees we, you know, come to know. As you saw in that last game where the deep passes that he just couldn't hit on, like, that's not Drew Brees. So clearly there's something going on with his arm. And we may see your boy Swiss Army Knife out there a little bit. But just think if Gurley is a little more healthy coming into that game, I think that would change the whole idea of this. Because remember, when Gurley was going good, Goff becomes an all-pro quarterback. So I think that makes it tougher to deal with them. And then on the KC New England side, it's just, look, man, Gronk is done. They carved up the Chargers, yes, but do I see them doing that again? I don't know, man. I don't know. So I'm more leaning that way than anything. The two other high-scoring teams who we've seen all season.
I can see that. I mean, that's the thing, you know, just like we were saying earlier and saying in there as well, is every team that made the playoff, you could make a case for the story that could unfold with them. Now that we're down to the final four like this, you could make a case for any matchup, any and every one, all these different ones. The only way we're going to know is late Sunday night once these games are over. But you said from here locally in Atlanta, does that mean you're a Falcons fan?
Oh, no, I'm a transplant down here.
Okay. Well, who are you a fan of?
Chicago.
Okay. I got no problem there. I married into a Chicago fan base family, so it's a beautiful city. For anybody who's never been to Chicago, I definitely implore you to go check out that city. But what did you think of your Bears this year? And you think it's something you can build on, or you think this was just a kind of a luck year?
No, I think they are who they are. The schedule kind of made them appear better than what they were. But, you know, they would get up early because the defense would be bullying some of these bad offenses. And Mitch Trubisky was playing on the short field with multiple turnovers in his pocket, you know, from the other side. But just overall, you know, he's got a long way to go, man. He's still developing, but I don't know, man. I'm kind of down on Howard as the lead runner. I think they need another running back. But they're solid, man. The defense is going to keep them in games. Need some more weapons on offense. But, yeah, they weren't great this year. But the idea that they wouldn't beat them – the idea that they wouldn't let the Vikings win so they could play the Vikings instead of playing dangerous Eagles. Like, it made no sense, and I'm still mad about it. I didn't even want to talk about that. But, you know, what are you going to do?
Exactly. Well, before the other guys might have a question for you as well. My last one would say, since more than likely, like almost every other Bears fan, you're not completely sold on the future of Trubisky and everything, what would you say if Chicago made a run at Kyler Murray or one of these guys like that?
Not enough cap room to do it. I mean, even if you were able to pull off something like that, it would hurt you down the line as far as what moves you can make because you'd be so constrained with all the dead cap money. So they got to see Mitch through at least his rookie deal before they make a decision. But I think we put way too much onus on the quarterback nowadays and think that the quarterback has so much to do with winning when this is the ultimate team game. And you can win with above average and game managing style quarterbacks. But everybody thinks you're going to find an Aaron Rodgers every draft, and it's just not true.
I think it's a good point.
Yeah. So, you know, so that's how I'm looking at it, man. But I don't know, man. It's tough. Because you drafted him, what, number two overall, I think, or three overall? So
yeah, and you moved up
to
do that.
Get out from under it. But, right. So I don't think we'll be able to get out from under him. So we got to see it through and see if he's good enough going forward.
I do say.
What were your thoughts on Cody?
There you go. Go ahead, Cody.
What were your thoughts on Cody Parkey going on Good Morning America, making it all about him, and then Matt Nagy's comments after?
It was actually today, though.
Yeah. Well, stuff like that, like, I have no problem with it. I think the dude felt like that was his responsibility, and that's the type of guy he is. He felt like that was the thing to do. To me, as an organization, that four or three field goal missed game, that should have been it. He should have been gone. A team that wins on the margins and thin margins at that, you're not going to be solid at kicker. You're going to hope this guy gets it right. So that was stupid anyway. So I could care less what Nagy has to say now. It's too late. The decision was early in the season to be made. You know what I mean? You need a consistent kicker if you know you're trying to win with defense and, you know, hoping to score 20 points. You need a good kicker.
Well, as a fan of a team that has a good kicker, and you guys know him all too well in Chicago, and that being Robbie Gould as a 49ers fan, Robbie Gould's a free agent, so maybe he'll get the money he deserves and go back to Chicago because he should have never been cut in the first place. That's one of the dumbest things I've ever seen a team do. The guy has been solid every year of his career. And then my biggest thing was how funny would it be, not funny to Bears fans, but just funny as a redemption thing, where they re-signed Robbie Gould, the 49ers signed Cody Parkey, and they play in the playoffs, and then Parkey kicks the game-winning field goal for the 49ers. Not this year. The Niners aren't going anywhere this year. But if it happened, that'd be a great redemption story.
All right, hold on.
Yeah,
Cody, I gotta break
be,
in with
I will never understand the idea that people are going to put their job on the line for some guy that they're not 100% on at a position like kicker. If you're a high-scoring offense, hey, you can risk it, bring in multiple guys. But if you're not, then you need to be pretty damn sure about who you have kicking the ball. So I don't get it, man. It's crazy.
Bethany, Cody, I was going to let you know and everybody know, they pretty much have to go with Cody Parkey next year because if you thought one move was dumb, this one is even dumber. They gave Cody Parkey a 4-year, of which at least its first two or so years are completely guaranteed, a 4-year deal. So they're on the hook for next year for like $3.5-4 million against the cap, whether they keep him or not. And I really doubt they want to pay him to kick for somebody else. So Chicago fans, unfortunately, you got Cody Parkey for another year.
Yeah. I remember reading that contract. That contract was, to pay a kicker like that so much money. He's not Vinatieri, Gostkowski, Robbie Gould, Zuerlein, Jake Elliott. He's not one of the top guys. I mean, that's just baffling to me. I know he's young, but I mean, Jesus.
Yeah, I got nothing to say. You said everything right there.
But it was Nas, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you calling in. Definitely don't be a stranger. I got the number wrote down so we know who you are next time you call in. We are typically live on Thursdays, right? This same place, usually starting around 7. Usually go for about an hour or so, and definitely appreciate you calling in. Like I said, don't be a stranger, and we'll see you later on down the road.
All right, man, that'll work. I'll hit you guys up later, man. Y'all have a good weekend, and good luck this weekend.
Exactly. You make sure to bear down this weekend.
That's okay, man. I could have went to the Falcon jokes, but I didn't do it. See, I'm learning. I ain't even doing it.
Well,
so y'all have a good
one. Well, the best part of that would be is the fourth co-host of this show, who is the Falcons fan on the show, is not on. So all the rest of us would just laugh aloud right along with you.
Oh, dude, do you understand that people's heads are going to explode if the Saints win and the Saints come here for Super Bowl week? Do you understand how ugly it's going to be down here?
If I can chime in, guys, that has been one of the concerns that has been talked about as a concern right now, a serious concern.
Yeah.
With security.
Yeah, this is a national security concern, sir. It's the same thing.
It really is. They right now currently have 40 agencies that are going to work this particular venue. Currently.
Jeez.
They have 40 agencies that are going to work this venue. So the problem that you have right now is for the market and for the business side of it, probably the better two teams would be New Orleans and New England playing for it. But if that comes down to that, then the logistical nightmare that you have with the security part of it for the Saints. Right now, it is alleged that that Atlanta will not take down anything out of their locker room if the Saints win. It is alleged that they will not allow them to use their facilities for practice. And, you know, the teams have to be a weekend, you know, they have to be here on, you know, on that Monday. So they're here for the whole week. And last but not least, the fans are willing to, because they have PSLs now, you know, so it's not like regular season and you're just out of there and you have to buy the tickets open in. They're refusing to even give up some of those seats, and they're not caring how much people are willing to pay for them. So,
yeah, that sounds good 2 weeks away, but if I know anything about fandom, money is the one thing that trumps fandom, and they're going to sell those seats. Believe that. But overall, this is a franchise and a fan base, and I hate to say this about those people. This is not a humble fan base. They act like they don't remember their brown bag origin. They're going to be loud in our face and making it into something, and it's going to be really bad. But, yeah, I know y'all got to go, so let me get out of here. But either way, hopefully that doesn't happen, man. Avert the national crisis. See y'all.
Yep. We definitely appreciate it, though. Have a good one. But, yeah, you know, Coach, you can attest, you were on a couple weeks ago. We have got some pretty awesome callers this year. It's been a good year for callers.
It has, and he's very astute when it comes to football. He knows his football, and he's called him before. I remember him before on a call.
I thought I remembered him too.
Right. But going back to this thing with the New Orleans Saints, that's one of the things that has been basically placed out there with them coming here to play. But then on the flip side of that coin is, you know, everybody likes to gravitate toward negativity and hype. So, you know, you have CNN covering New Orleans being in Atlanta if it comes down to that. So it's going to be quite interesting to see what comes of that. And seriously, it's gotten so bad, guys, that even the mayors of both of the prospective cities right now currently are at each other's throats. So, I mean, it's gotten to that point. So, really, seriously, I think that the NFL needs to come in and step in right now. The commission needs to make a statement. The owners of the teams need to make a statement. You can't control fans, but you can, seriously, you need to step in and make some statements and make it clear that it needs to remain just that a rivalry amongst sports teams and not it spill over into anything else. Because if you remember, guys, I'm trying to remember if it was Super Bowl or if it was just a game, but if you remember, a guy got stabbed down around the Georgia Dome a couple of years back. I don't know if that was out the San Francisco 49ers game, but it was something that happened between two fans here in Atlanta. It was, you know, it didn't get a national, you know, coverage, but it was, you know, covered. And so again, you know, when you're talking about rowdy fans and adding alcohol and other things into the mix, and they already have this feeling about each other. See, the Saints' attitude is they're going to come in and they want to win this because they want to be king of the Mercedes-Benz venues. So they're like, we're the first Mercedes. No, we have the first Mercedes-Benz, you know, stadium, and we want to come and conquer this one. So they have a takeover spirit, and their coach is doing some interesting things. I find it quite interesting that their coach is starting to engage directly with the fans, and you know, and so there have been some interesting. So they're taking on some of his mentality right now. We have no holds barred. We are crushing people, and we don't care if you like it or not. So it's going to be quite interesting. I said, you know, it's going to be interesting in this game, but they got a lot. They have a lot in front of them right now to try to pull off. So until that happens, it's not something Atlanta has to worry about. But if it happens, then it's going to be interesting to see how, you know, the NFL responds to this as well as, you know, just the fan base at all. But I do think they need to come up with some kind of statement now before it really gets out of hand and this becomes something that can actually happen with all rivalry teams.
Exactly, and you know, I'm going to start trying to do this. Try to do a last question of the show, and we're going to try to leave on a little bit of a lighter note because it was a super solid show. Nas was able to call in the Chicago fan here in Atlanta, and we had great conversation with him as well. We encourage everybody 347-826-7448 if you ever want to call in. Yes, we do take calls. We actually take calls all the time. But you said there where the Falcons would potentially not let the Saints use their facilities. I wonder if Atlanta United would, because in this city and in this particular building, it seems like United trumps the Falcons currently.
But who owns United?
The same guy that owns the Falcons.
My point.
Yep, so see, that wouldn't be a Falcons thing. That would be an Arthur Blank thing.
I wouldn't be afraid to say it's coming from the top.
Yeah, I wouldn't be afraid to say, well, I'm always afraid to talk about him, but it doesn't stop me from doing it. But, yeah, I mean, you know, it is what it is. Nothing personal, but since Tom Benson is unfortunately not with us anymore, I don't know what his wife's, Mrs. Benson's relationship with Arthur is. I mean, cause I know Tom Benson and Arthur Blank were really good friends. That's why the rivalry was always playful. So, I mean, you know, there could be a little bit of infighting there between a couple owners.
Yeah, it could, but I think it's all at that level. I think it's all just friendly competition. I think just the real concern is just you always get those, you know, erratic, over the top fans who represent or who don't necessarily directly represent your organization, but they're representing the team when they're wearing the jerseys and things of that nature. And unfortunately, it kind of, you know, Atlanta and New Orleans have always been chirpy with each other. So the concern now is if they come here, you know, what does that look like? But I still think that, you know, that's the best ticket for the game, in my opinion. Experience is going to win out, and I think this is what you'll see in the Super Bowl. But we'll know for sure after the AFC and NFC Championship game.
Yep, I definitely think so. And that's going to do it for us this week. Thanks to, obviously, you, Coach, and you, Cody, for joining us this week. We already have our picks in, like we said. Myself and Coach going New Orleans versus New England is the Super Bowl we think we're going to see. Cody thinks we're going to see Rams and Chiefs. Reggie, I think, is probably washing his hair about this point. We should get his picks in the next day or so. I'll post everybody's picks once I have his in. I had the great call from Nas as usual, or as we said earlier. But it's been Sports Club, the NFL Conference Championship episode. We will see you guys next week. Bear down, Falcons fans. Bear down.
Y'all looking at something like a true player. A girl told me that a man that could dance might could possibly get down with the tool in his pants. Now I'm a lady, let me see it vibrate. And when it's over, you ain't gonna need your bird. Cause I'm a pro, make you bend your back low, then the pound it real fast to light the percolate.
Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah.
Was that not clear without the bam? Yeah, okay. Bam! What?